Your speaker is Claude Farr.
This morning I want to talk about the judgment. Actually, I want to talk about the good news at the judgment. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, the Apostle Paul had this to say in the city of Athens. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." So the apostle in this passage, as well as in many other scriptures, speaks of a judgment to come. This morning I want to talk about the judgment. Usually when we think of the judgment, we think of it in negative terms. But for the Christian, really the judgment is good news. And that's what I want to speak about a few minutes this morning. First of all, as we think about the good news of the judgment, it's good news just that there will be a judgment. There is always the necessity of accountability in human society. It'd be really hard for us to imagine how bad the world would be if people were not accountable for their actions. It's true in school, it's true at work, it's true in society. There is, of necessity, a need for people to be accountable for their deeds. There is also a need for a final accountability. That is a judgment day in which God will set and through His Son, Jesus Christ, judge the earth. Because while in human society we try to call people into account for their deeds, we're not perfect at that. And no matter how hard a society may try to make laws and to bring men into judgment for breaking those laws, it's simply not possible for human beings to be totally just and fair. And all of us, as we live our lives, we read the newspaper or see a report on TV, and we recognize that for some individual, a great injustice has been done, and there is nothing that we can do as human beings to really rectify that. And in our personal lives, there are times in which there are things that happen, and there's just no way that there can really be any justice. And we have to simply, as Christians, do as Jesus Christ did, commit Himself unto Him that judgeth righteously. And in the passage that I read at the outset, Acts chapter 17, verse 31, the apostle tells us what should be, if we really understand it properly, what should be good news. When he says that there is a day appointed, he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ. And so while we do not generally think of the judgment as good news, if we understand it properly and recognize that there needs to be a time in which all the injustices and all the problems of this life someday will be really straightened out, the books balanced, and everything made just as it should be, then we can appreciate the fact that it's really good news to know that there is a judgment. Secondly, as I think about the good news of the judgment, a part of the good news is that God Himself will be the judge. And that, of course, is what is stated in this text that I read. He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world. And then, of course, He tells us that He will do that through His Son, Jesus Christ. But when I say the good news is that God will be the judge, it's another portion of the verse that I'm keying in on. And that is, He says that He will judge the world in righteousness. It would not be good news that there is someday going to be a final judgment if the judge was unjust. A part of the good news about the great day of judgment that is coming is that the one who sits and judges on that day is God Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that will be a righteous judgment. Now, I want to read what the Apostle Paul has to say about this idea, in the book of Romans, chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 5, he begins his discussion about the judgment. Toward the end of the verse, he speaks of the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, and then describes it in this way, beginning in verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Now, what the apostle is trying to say in this text is not simply that there is a judgment, but that God will judge in righteousness. It is the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now, the particular question that he is dealing with in this text is Jew and Gentile. And he's trying to say in this passage that Jew and Gentile will be judged alike before God. He says in verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deed. And then in verse 11, at the end of it, he says, for there is no respect of persons with God. And in all of the statement in that verse, he's simply trying to say that God in His judgment will be fair to everybody. He will be fair to the Jew, and He will be fair to the Gentile. Now, we in our day and time don't worry so much about the difference in Jew and Gentile as was a concern in Paul's day. But the principle that God will judge every man according to his deeds and that there is no respect of persons with God applies in all the circumstances and differences of human beings in this life. It doesn't matter whether you're an American or not an American. It doesn't matter whether you're white or black. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. God will not look at any of the external things that we judge men by in that final judgment day. But God will be looking without respect of persons. He will be judging every man according to his deeds. It will be a righteous and fair judgment. And that's good news, for the Christian at least, for the Christian. Of course, in all of this morning, as I'm talking about good news of the judgment, I'm talking for us as Christians. It is good news that there will be a judgment in which all of the inequities and the injustices of this life will be taken care of. And it is good news that the judge will be God Himself through Jesus Christ, because that ensures that it will be a righteous and a fair judgment. And also in this same passage, as he talks about God and His judgment, he says this in verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. It's good news that God will be the judge, because it will not be a judgment based just on that which is outward, that which can be seen, but it will be a judgment of the real thing, because God will be able to see the very secrets, the motivations of the heart. And He'll be able, because of that, to render a fair judgment. Then again, as we talk about the good news of the judgment, I wanted to emphasize mainly this morning the good news of the judgment as it relates to the deeds of our lives. And again, of course, I'm speaking to us as Christians. If you want to talk about the deeds of your life and kind of categorize them, there, of course, would be the good deeds. There would be the failures, the good things you tried to do, but really didn't, were not successful at. And then, of course, lastly, there would be the bad deeds. And I want us to just notice the good news about the judgment day with regard to each of those three. First of all, think about the good deeds. And standing before the judgment bar of God on that day, and our good deeds being brought up. Now, we might think that we do a lot of good in this life. And we might look about us and we might see some people that really have spent their life in good work. But when you stand before God and Jesus Christ and the holy angels are there, our good deeds are not going to amount to very much in that court. No person who thinks of God and of Christ and of the angels would think that any human being's good deeds could measure up for very much in that final court. But the good news is this. Let me read what Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 10, the last verse. Verse 42. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. The good news about the judgment is, with regard to your good deeds, no matter how little and how insignificant it may seem to us, in that final day, the good deeds will be rewarded, even if it is nothing more than the offering of a glass of water to someone in the name of the disciple. Jesus says that a deed so small and so insignificant as that will not go unrewarded. It's good news for us to know that as we live the Christian life, on that day, everything we do, every little thing that we do, no matter how small, we will not go unrewarded for that. But then think about the failures in our life, the good things that we really wanted to do, intended to do, and tried to do, but we were not successful at it. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, Paul is talking about the works that we might do. And he, of course, uses, to kind of illustrate that, he talks about gold and silver and talks about wood, hay, and stubble. Some of those things can burn. And he uses that to illustrate that some of the things that we do in this life will be successful at, will be good works. Some of the things that we attempt, we may have good intentions and we may attempt them, but they really don't turn out very well. When they're tested in the fire, they'll burn up. Now, the apostle admits that we will lose some reward for those things, but he gives us the assurance that while the works may be burned up, the Christian, though, that is trying, that is living right, even though he's failed in many instances, he will be saved, he says, yet so as by fire. Our failures as Christians won't hurt us, will not cause us to lose our souls. That's good news. Because anyone who is attempting to do work for God will find out that sometimes they're not successful. And so it's good to know that even though our works may be burned up, failures, yet that will not affect the eternal well-being of our soul. Then again, as we think about the good news that relates to our deeds, think about the bad. We've talked about the good things, the failures, but now the bad things that we have done in our life. And I want to read a passage from the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah. It's an Old Testament passage, but it relates, it's a prophecy concerning the New Covenant. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, the prophet says this, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Now, in the book of Hebrews, this passage is quoted, and it is supplied, it says, applied to the new covenant, the one under which we live as Christians. And Jeremiah says there's going to be a new covenant between man and God. And then in the next few verses, he describes that new covenant. And we won't read the whole description, but just look at the end of verse 31. under the new covenant, I will forgive their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. The good news at the judgment is that as Christians, when we stand before the throne of God to be judged, the bad things that we have done in this life, they've been forgiven. And God says that He will remember them no more. And therefore, they will not come up on that final judge day. One other passage along this same line, the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 18, and I want to begin reading in verse 21. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Now sometimes we think that the judgment should be kind of like this. That you would have a scale, and that on one side of the scale you would put all the bad things that a man had done in his life. And on the other side of the scale you'd put all the good things that a man had done in his life. And if the good outweighs the bad, then you'll be okay. But if the bad outweighs the good, you'll be lost. Now that's the way human beings would probably approach the judgment. But that's not the way it's going to be at all. What is being said in this passage is that if a man has lived a wicked life, no matter how wicked, that if he turns from that sin and begins to do that which is right, that's what, of course, we do when we become a Christian, that man's sins will not even be brought up in the judgment. Verse 22 again, all his trespasses that he has committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. The good news of the judgment for Christians is that when you stand before the judgment bar of God to give an account of your life, nobody's going to bring up the bad things that you did. Those things will not even be mentioned. Now, I want to emphasize that that's just for Christians, of course, for those that have turned their life to serve God. Because he says in the next verse, verse 24, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doth according to the abominations of the wicked that the wicked man doth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, he shall surely die. In other words, the reverse is true also. If a person lives a life of good works for many, many years, serving God, But at some point down the road, turns away and decides that he'll reject the good life of righteousness and turns back and serves a life of sin, and all of his righteousness won't be mentioned. That'll all be forgotten, and he will die in his sins. Now the people of Ezekiel's day had a problem with that. It just didn't seem fair to them. And so Ezekiel discusses that. Verse 25 he says, yea, ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? That is, to the human protest, that's just not the way it ought to be. That the protest that it really ought to be a balancing of the good outweigh the bad, or the bad outweigh the good. To that protest, God answers through His prophet that God's way is the right way. And man's way of judgment is the wrong way. And then in verse 25, he tells us why. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Why is it that a man may live and commit a lot of sins in his life, but at some point he repents of his sins and he becomes a Christian, he turns to God, why is it that that man can live and be saved by the wicked deeds of his life? Well, God says that's the way it's supposed to be. Because that man has made a decision. In his heart he has said that every bad thing that I ever did, that was wrong, and he's genuinely repentant because of that. And he has changed his heart and he's going to do that which is right. A man who has lived a righteous life for many years, but somewhere along the way turns from that and turns back to evil, that man has said, I wasted my years in righteousness. That was the wrong way to live. The right way to live is to live wickedly. And so God in the judgment day is looking at the decision that a man makes in his heart. And when the wicked man makes the decision that he's going to turn from his wickedness, that he rejects his old life, and he's going to turn to that which is right, the good news is that God will not even mention the evil that he had done prior to that. God will forgive, and he'll be rewarded for the righteousness of his decision and of his life. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. This invitation is for anyone here this morning who is not a Christian. Doesn't matter what you've done in your life. When you believe in God and in Christ, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and are baptized for the remission of sins. When you turn from wickedness to righteousness, then the Lord says you'll be rewarded for that, and none of the wickedness that you've ever done in your life will even be mentioned in the judgment day. Or if you are a Christian, but you turn back to the world, you can come back to God, and when you turn back to God, all the wickedness that you've done will not be mentioned, and God will accept you for the righteous decision that you make. If there's anyone here this morning who's not a Christian and needs to respond to the invitation in any way,